KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up, Seattle police are reacting after one of their own refuses to wear a mask inside a hospital.
It's not just D.C. Security is tightened at the Washington State Capitol ahead of Joe Biden's inauguration. I'm Jeff Pogel of The Story next.
First, an update from ABC News. KOMO News Time, 1 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More than 21,000 members of the National Guard are in Washington, D.C. They're helping secure the nation's capital ahead of Wednesday's inauguration.
There are guardsmen from all 50 states, all territories, are here supporting the District of Columbia National Guard.
That's Commanding General William Walker with the D.C. National Guard. All members are being vetted by law enforcement to safeguard against the possibility of an insider attack as security concerns threaten to overshadow the inauguration Wednesday. But Vice President-elect Kamala Harris said today,
I am very much looking forward to be sworn in as the next Vice President of the United States, and I will walk there to that moment proudly with my head up and my shoulder back.
Speaking in Washington, D.C., where she took part in a service event, President-elect Joe Biden did the same in Philadelphia. It's in honor of Martin Luther King Day. Senator Harris also resigned her seat as one of California's two senators, but ABC's Alex Stone has more on the man who will replace her, Alex Padilla.
Padilla has been California's Secretary of State. As Vice President-elect Kamala Harris resigned from the Senate, Padilla resigned as Secretary of State and then was appointed by the governor to the Senate. Newsom is also submitting a nomination for a new Secretary of State.
The incoming Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowed to move forward with the investigation into the Capitol Hill violence from January 6th.
Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer speaking at a New York City Martin Luther King birthday celebration, saying Trump supporters who attacked the Capitol will never overturn a legal election.
And they and Donald Trump will be brought to justice.
Unclear if enough Republicans will join the Majority Leader and convict the president.
That's ABC's Andy Field in Washington. As coronavirus vaccinations continue, governors of some states are urging patience as they also ask the federal government for more vaccines. The U.S. is approaching 400,000 deaths from the virus. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon. KOMO News Time 102. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. The new variant of COVID-19 from the United Kingdom has been confirmed here in the Northwest, and health experts are worried that it could lead to more cases as well as hospitalizations. KOMO's Nick Popham has the latest.
It's faster spreading and causing more alarm to most folks in the medical field.
It is not a time to let off the brakes.
Because for people like Cassie Sauer with the State Hospital Association, this new variant of COVID-19 is now officially in the Pacific Northwest. To health experts, this is the last thing they wanted to see.
Adding strains that spread more readily to our outbreak will be like throwing gasoline on a COVID-19 wildfire.
And it's a wildfire that's already caused issues for so many and has left every region in our state in phase one.
That spread could be happening faster, but we are seeing a higher number of cases.
But even with the new variant and that high case count, the state as a whole is close to reaching all four metrics in the governor's Healthy Washington plan. While some regions are worse off than others, on average across Washington, the only metric we haven't achieved is a 10% decrease in hospital admissions.
KOMO's Nick Popham reporting. The Seattle Police Department has publicly responded to a report of an officer not wearing a face mask, calling it unacceptable and not what we expect. KOMO's Brian Calvert has more.
The reaction comes after a Twitter post started getting a lot of attention over the weekend. Someone claiming to be a nurse in a local hospital wrote that a Seattle police officer was in the hallway on a floor where there were several patients with COVID-19. According to the post, not one, but several nurses offered the officer a face mask, which the officer discarded. While never identifying the officer in question, the department posted on its blog yesterday, quote, "We know the profound impacts that COVID has created for our community. We will hold our personnel accountable for actions that violate policy and the trust of the community we serve." The blog post called the officer's actions unacceptable and that it was not what the department expected of its personnel. The department's Office of Police Accountability is investigating this complaint. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
Coming up,
state lawmakers have introduced several measures aimed at making up for some of the lost learning because of the pandemic. I'm Carlene Johnson.
First at 104, a KOMO traffic update from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. And we need to check in with Curtis Calhoun. And Curtis, just a moment here, because being the big dummy that I am, I pressed the incorrect button to go to you. So just one second, and I think we should have you now.
No problem. Okay, well, good afternoon. Demonstrators are now fully blocking the northbound 5 collector distributor lanes due to the ongoing MLK Day march. So definitely use caution traveling through downtown in the meantime. Also dealing with a crash in Bellevue. This is a reported southbound 405 at the 520 interchange, taking up the left lane. This traffic report is sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino. Muckleshoot Casino is the destination for gaming. More than 3,000 gaming machines, table games, delectable dining, and the largest smoke-free gaming area in the state. Muckleshoot Casino, the biggest and best in the Northwest. Your next Como traffic at 114.
Thank you, Curtis. And our Como forecast now from meteorologist Kristen Clark.
We're looking at a much tamer week of weather for us. Tuesday features more patchy morning fog that will be followed by afternoon sun. Dry conditions on Tuesday will be followed by maybe a few light rain showers Tuesday night, especially across the northwest interior. And then again, Wednesday night and early Thursday, there is the possibility of a rain-snow mix in the foothills. No snow accumulation is expected, but we look to Sunday for that potentially as we get even colder air to arrive this weekend. Some spots could stay in the 30s. And the Como Weather Center meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Sunny in Seattle, and it's 46 degrees, Como News Time 105. Seattle's taking part in a National Day of Remembrance tomorrow for the thousands of lives lost to COVID-19. Deborah Doust with Seattle Center says that they're going to ring the Kobe Bell just north of the International Fountain 40 times for the nearly 4,000 people who've died in Washington and the nearly 400,000 lives lost in the U.S.
It's really to promote unity across the country in grieving and in remembering and honoring people who have been touched by COVID-19.
She says buildings will also be lit in amber, the color of candles to remember loved ones. People can watch the memorial on Seattle Center's Facebook page at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. The building lightings happen at 5:30. School systems across the nation, understandably, a little overwhelmed and unequipped to respond to COVID-19 when it began spreading in the spring. But here we are, about a year later, and most students are still not getting any classroom instruction. Como's Carlene Johnson reports the impact on lost learning and emotional well-being is undeniable.
A lot of districts have been testing students this month, programs like iReady and iMath, to gauge where they are based on the start of the year or this time last year. In most cases, student comprehension is down. Lost learning in math, on average, expected to be 6 to 9 months behind by the end of the year. And given that schools are the hub for support such as mental health counseling and mandatory reporting for abuse, young people are not getting their needs met that way either. The school counselor from Spokane supports a bill in Olympia to ensure counselors spend the vast majority of their day meeting with students instead of being reassigned to other duties.
During this time of unrest throughout our nation, teachers need to know that their students will have access to direct services with their school counselors to help them address the mental health needs and the trauma our students are experiencing.
And while enrollment is down in just about every grade, a recent NPR survey of more than 60 districts and 20 states found that kindergarten enrollment is down an average of 16% this year. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Security is tight at the state capitol ahead of the presidential inauguration Wednesday.
After the pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and a similar group breached security at the Washington State Governor's Mansion, the State Patrol has increased their deployment in Olympia.
Well, inauguration is always a heightened aware day.
Lieutenant Kurt Boyle says fusion centers, which coordinate intelligence and resources between departments, have been activated across the country. He adds that any tip or threat, no matter how small, is always investigated. Jeff Pogula, Como News.
Renton police trying to find the person who rammed one of their patrol cars Sunday morning.
Authorities say the person ran from the scene. They called out a canine unit to search the area near South 2nd and Main Avenue, but officers did not find the driver. A passenger in the car stayed at the scene, but the patrol officer in the wreck squad car was taken to the hospital, but should be okay.
Como's Ryan Yamamoto. If the homeless encampment at Cal Anderson Park was illegal, why did a Seattle police officer refer a homeless person to services there? Como's Corwin Hank reports that audio caught on the officer's body camera raises the question.
Officer Mika Harmon and her partner had just arrested the guy for shoplifting from the Broadway Bartels. Harmon tells the suspect the illegal homeless encampment at Capitol Hill's Cal Anderson Park is maybe the best place for him to get food and a pair of shoes.
They can be step over at Chop. I mean the park.
Harmon is heard on the recording obtained by the Seattle Times speaking with someone who seems to know the camp.
So we'll have him you know, try to direct him over to Cal Anderson? Do they have, like, shoes and stuff there? And
they should.
The park was swept several times after protesters and homeless people began occupying it last year. A Seattle police spokesman says the officer behaved appropriately, telling the Times in an email, quote, "We provide services to those requesting or needing them and guide them to the nearest services available." Corwin Hake, Como News.
Como News Time, 110. Time for an update on sports from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk with Bill Swartz. The perfect Zags continue to sit atop the men's basketball poll.
They were number one in preseason, and now 14-0 Gonzaga is still topping the Associated Press survey. Undefeated Baylor remains two. Duke has fallen out of the top 25 for the first time since 2016. Louisville's women are number one in the nation, first time ever. Washington State had two close overtime losses in Los Angeles, and the Cougars drop out of the top 25. The NFC and AFC football championship games all set for Sunday. Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay host Tom Brady and Tampa Bay. Josh Allen leads the Buffalo Bills into Kansas City to play the Chiefs, who might be without their star quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He is currently in concussion protocol. Drew Brees might be ready to hang up his number 9 New Orleans Saints jersey after yesterday's playoff loss.
And that is, I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year.
The 42-year-old Brees holds NFL career yardage and touchdown passing records. Sports updates at 10 and 40 after the hour. Bill Swartz, Como News.
As the United States approaches 400,000 COVID-19 deaths, there's some hope on the horizon, as we hear from ABC's Kaylee Hartung.
Mass vaccination sites popping up across the country, from Florida's Hard Rock Stadium to New York City Field, even Disneyland.
All those can be put in place, but they're useless unless they have something to administer.
With a crippled rollout plan, appointments are overbooked, and many sites say they'll quickly run out of doses. Thousands of Americans just can't seem to get that prize shot in the arm.
It seems like it's very disorganized. What's the point of making an appointment if you're going to stand here 3 or 4 hours to get in, and then you might not even get it?
In Houston, officials weighing a choice between maximizing single-day vaccinations or conserving the supply.
I said, Mayor, you know, if we do 5,000, that means we're not going to have enough for the next week. But he insisted that we get out as much vaccine as we could.
With no federal stockpile, Pfizer and Moderna both shipping out about 2 million doses per week, the government pushing for at least 50 million to be distributed by the end of January. But there's a lot of ground to make up. So far, only about 31 million have gone out. With the turn of a new administration just days away, Biden's team promising to speed up the rollout.
We have looked carefully, and we are confident that we have enough vaccine for the 100 million doses over the next 100 days. That is what the president-elect has promised. It will be a hefty lift, but we have it in us to do that.
The everyday toll weighing on American lives. In Southern California, the latest epicenter of the pandemic, Orange County's fourth field hospital opening today. 52 extra beds for COVID patients are now available at St. Jude Medical Center. The fight against the virus, nowhere near over.
I can only imagine every day, if not every hour, there's a different concern at the top of your list. At this point in the pandemic, what's keeping you up at night?
Vaccine rolling out fast enough and people not getting ahead of it.
Now, Joe Biden has this plan of delivering 100 million vaccine doses in his first 100 days of his presidency. And Dr. Anthony Fauci says that is absolutely doable. Keep in mind, there are two more vaccines in the works from AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, and those could be presented to regulators for approval in a matter of weeks.
ABC's Kaylee Hartung. New York City may run out of coronavirus vaccine doses at some point as soon as this week.
Mayor de Blasio says appointments may have to be suspended if the supply being sent to New York does not increase. That worries Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer.
We pray for more vaccine because as somebody who has constituents calling me every minute to get a vaccination, it's hard to get a vaccine. It's hard to make an appointment.
Meanwhile, the city is now offering free transportation for those 65 and older who have trouble getting to vaccine sites. The city will use AccessoRide and a cab service through Curb to help seniors.
Scott Pringle reporting. Como News Time, 114. Time for an update on traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis Calhoun.
the big traffic story this afternoon. We still have the MLK Day demonstration march in downtown Seattle right now. All northbound 5 collector distributor lanes are fully blocked with demonstrators, along with the westbound 90 ramp to northbound 5 in the meantime. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Also in Bellevue, dealing with the crash southbound 405 at 520. Looks like it's taking up the left lane, causing a little bit of stop and go action from about 70th in Kirkland. Your next Como traffic at 124.
Our Como forecast now, and weather is going to remain partly cloudy, looks like, through the rest of the afternoon, with a good amount of sunshine expected really all through this week. A couple of slight chances of showers Tuesday night and Thursday morning. Other than that, expect to stay dry, but then by the weekend, we could see a rain-snow mix as we start to cool down. Daytime highs by Friday, probably only going to be in the upper 30s or low 40s. Right now in Seattle, it's 46 degrees and still warming up a little bit.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now the headlines are following from the Como 24/7 News Center. Former President Barack Obama honoring the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today in a tweet saying that King had a right to question whether our democracy was worth redeeming, given all that he went through. Despite everything King endured, Obama said that he never became violent or waved a traitorous flag. The FBI investigating reports that a woman in the mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th stole a laptop or hard drive from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office. An FBI affidavit claims that Riley June Williams of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, intended to send the device to a friend in Russia who would then try to sell it to the country's Foreign Intelligence Service. Como News Time 116. Today, Kamala Harris submitted her resignation letter to California Governor Gavin Newsom. She'll be replaced by the California Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, in the Senate. And while Harris is no longer an official member or delegate sent to the U.S. Senate, come Wednesday, she may in fact wield much more power over the chamber in her new role as vice president. Joining us with more is ABC's Inez De La Cotera in Washington, D.C. Inez, today being MLK Day, we can't ignore that VP-elect Harris is going to be the first black person, the first South Asian person, and the first woman to hold the office. What has she said today?
That's right. Yes, she will really be making history on Wednesday. So she did submit today a letter of resignation for her Senate seat to the California governor, Governor Gavin Newsom, which officially kind of put an end to her four-year career in the Senate. And then she also wrote an op-ed for the San Francisco Chronicle speaking directly to Americans about, you know, what she plans to do next and really talking about her role going forward. She's going to be presiding over the Senate now in her capacity as vice president. And she's going to be playing a hugely important role because, remember, with these recent Democratic gains in the Senate, the balance of power will now be at 50-50, and Kamala Harris will likely often be the tie-breaking vote. So she is certainly going to be one to watch, you know, her going forward, and her work in the Senate is far from over.
You know, I don't know when the last time it was that it would have been a 50-50 split for a president, but in effect, it kind of gives the executive branch a lot more oversight because it is 50-50 to have the VP there involved in so many ways.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's going to be really interesting to watch, you know, this new year. Democrats have the White House, the House, and the Senate, and Kamala Harris will be the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. So that'll be certainly, you know, it's very different from what we've seen these last few years. There are certain things like the Senate impeachment trial, for instance, where, you know, 2/3 of the Senate would still be needed to convict President Trump. So Kamala Harris won't be playing as important a role in that particular instance. But she will, I think she'll be there a lot more. She'll be a lot more involved. And she is really going to be Joe Biden's, you know, eyes and ears on the ground. Everybody talks about how the vice presidency is kind of what you make of it. There's no job description for the vice president. And I think we'll see Kamala Harris, you know, given her background as a senator and now becoming the tie-breaking vote in the Senate, part of her job description is going to be, you know, being on Capitol Hill a lot more.
So, and as, am I right in thinking that you were assigned to Vice President Pence's press corps back when they were running in 2016?
I was. That's correct. I was the embed with one of the kind of every cycle they send out younger reporters, so-called embeds, and you are assigned a candidate and you're with the candidate for the duration of their campaign. So I was with Marco Rubio during the primaries and with Mike Pence during the general election.
So with that experience in your back pocket, how do you see Kamala Harris and Mike Pence's approach to the office differing? How is Kamala Harris going to approach things differently?
Well, I think that's what, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think Mike Pence was, you know, he faced a lot of criticism for being obviously, you know, kind of President Trump's yes man. And I think on the campaign, what we saw a lot of was Vice President or then Governor Pence trying to clean up a lot of what President Trump was saying. That was kind of his role on the campaign trail. I think he was a solid pick for President Trump in that he appealed to the more moderate wing of the party, and he kind of reassured the undecided voters during the 2016 campaign that there would be an adult in the room present. I think that was his role during the campaign. And then I think he faced criticism when President Trump was in office for not standing up to President Trump enough. And then I think Kamala Harris will, you know, like we were just discussing, I think given the balance of power in the Senate, she's going to be on Capitol Hill a lot more, probably doing a lot of negotiating with lawmakers there. And I think she's going to have, I think, probably a more public role. I think we'll probably see a lot more of her. You know, I think she's younger. She's going to be the first woman, South Asian, first African-American woman to hold that office. So I do think she's going to have a more public role than Mike Pence, who was maybe just kind of not as visible during the Trump presidency.
ABC's Inez De La Cotera with us on Como News. Inez, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Como News Time 120. It's time for our Propel Insurance Business Update. Here's Jim Chesko.
The coronavirus pandemic has brought record sales growth to the packaged food industry. Food makers, including Campbell Soup, Conagra Brands, Kraft Heinz, and General Mills, say they've gotten into millions more consumer homes, and they believe their momentum will continue even as the pandemic subsides. Here comes the car of the future. Daimler's Mercedes-Benz recently unveiled a key interior component of its upcoming electric luxury sedan, a large curved screen that sweeps across almost the entire width of the car in the place of a conventional dashboard. The screen uses artificial intelligence to learn what functions drivers use most, such as navigation and hands-free phone calls, then keeps those functions prominently on display so drivers don't have to hunt for them. Daimler says the system only shows what is needed, no scrolling, no browsing. The markets are closed for the holiday, but will reopen at the regular time tomorrow. That's Your Money Now.
Stay safe, Seattle. Social distancing and masks are important, but so is knowledge. Stay connected. Stay informed on all things COVID from Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and on your smart speaker. This is Como News.